Adam read for us this morning, and you follow along in your Bibles from the book of Joshua. We're studying Joshua in the junior class that I teach. We have been for the past 4 weeks. We got one more lesson about Joshua. Of course, Joshua was one of the great men of the Bible. He started out as Moses' servant. He started out as Moses' gopher. In other words, whatever Moses wanted, Joshua went for. He was faithful, and he obeyed Moses, and everything that Moses wanted him to do, Joshua did. And as he proved himself to be faithful, he was given greater responsibility. He, of course, was one of the 12 spies that was chosen by Moses to go into the promised land and spy it out. Prior to the plan to go in. Of course, they didn't go in, but he was one of the 12 spies that went in. And he was only one of two. Him and Caleb came back and said, yeah, we can take it. With God's help, we can take the promised land. The other 10 looked at the size of the cities and the size of the people and says, there's no way we can defeat the giants that live there. But Joshua trusted God. And when it came time for Moses to die and the reins of leadership to be passed to somebody else, God chose this man, Joshua, to be Moses' replacement. Just like the Spirit of God was on Moses, the Spirit of God was on Joshua. He led the people across or through the Jordan River on dry ground, just like Moses led the people of Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground. He led the people in the Battle of Jericho, the first city that was defeated in the land of Canaan. And of course, a miraculous victory. People marched around it one time for 6 days, and then seven times on the seventh day, blew the trumpet, shouted, and the walls of Jericho fell down. And everybody in that city was destroyed except Rahab and her family. And Joshua, led the people to not only defeat Jericho, but to conquer the promised land, the land of Canaan, that land that had been prepared by God for his people, that land that flowed with milk and honey. And now Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, is old. He's at the end of his life. He's at the end of his command, the end of his watch, so to speak, the end of his leadership of God's people. And he's giving his farewell address. He's giving his final charge, his final command, his final admonition to the people that he led. And in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 24, he says, you need to choose your God. You have some choices. You can choose the gods that your forefathers served on the other side of the flood. You can choose the gods that they served in Egypt, that land where you were slaves for 430 years. You can choose the gods that the people that we've just conquered serve. But he says, I'm going to tell you who I'm going to serve. Let me tell you who my house is going to serve. We're going to serve the Lord God. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This morning, I want to mention four things to you. Four quick things. And I hope you all plan to come and stay for lunch with us. I got plenty of food, got a place for everybody to sit down, and we want you to stay and have some fellowship with us after church. And so I'm going to be done at my normal time, right around noon, and I'll give the invitation, and then we'll go and enjoy lunch together. But I want to mention four things to you. Number one, you get to choose your God. You get to choose your God. I believe that there is a God in heaven that created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in it. I believe that there is a God that made me. I believe that there is a God that has a plan for my life. I believe that there is a God that loves me and who wants the best for me. I believe that there is a God that has chosen me and wants me to be part of his family. But I also believe that that same God has given me the choice. He does not force me to choose him. He has chosen me. He wants me to be part. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God has chosen me, but he has left up to me my choice of gods. And every single person that has ever lived on the face of this earth has had that same choice. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had that choice. And by the way, let me remind you that one of the gods that you can choose to worship, one of the gods that you can choose to serve, is yourself. Because when Satan came to Eve and tempted her in the Garden of Eden, what did he say? He said, "You see the fruit? God knows that if you eat the fruit, you won't die." That's what God had told Adam and Eve, that if you eat the fruit, you'll die. And God was right. They died spiritually because when they ate that fruit, they were separated from God. But Satan came to Eve and said, "Oh, no, no, no. God knows that if you eat the fruit, you won't die, but you'll be like him. You'll be wise. You'll know things that God knows." And what he was saying was, you can be your own God. That's why Satan was kicked out of heaven. He was one of the archangels, one of three created by God, a beautiful angel, an angel of music. But he was kicked out of heaven, Satan was, because he wanted to be God. And Satan came to mankind and tempted him with the same thing that he wanted. Hey, you can be your own God. You don't have to worship the God that made you. You don't have to worship the God that put you here for a purpose. You can make those kind of decisions yourself. You can be your own God. You can worship the gods that are around you, or you can be your own God. And every single person that's ever lived on the face of the earth has to choose their God. Adam and Eve did. Cain and Abel did. Noah had the same choice. Abraham had this choice. Isaac, Jacob, just go down the line. Moses had it. Joshua had it. Every single person in the Bible that we read about had the choice, choose your God. Choose your God. My grandfather had this choice. He had to choose his God. My dad had this choice. He had to choose his God. I got to make the choice. I had to choose my God. My son had to make the choice. And my grandson, which will hopefully be making his appearance in the next few days, will get the same choice. He'll get the same choice. He'll get to choose his God. And every single person here this morning, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, you get to make the same choice. You get to choose your God. And so what Joshua said to the Israelites, I say to you today, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Point number two, we have the same choices today that they had in Joshua's day. Again, Joshua set up, he said, here's the choices you got. You can serve the gods that were before the flood. You can serve the gods of Egypt. You were there for 430 years, you know who they are. And the Egyptians worshiped many gods. They had a god for every day, god for every season. Or we've come into this land and we've conquered these people and you've seen their gods. You can choose them. And I think it's interesting and very important how Joshua sets up the choice in verse 15. He says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the floods, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. He said, you can serve the gods that your fathers served before the flood. Before the flood. But I'll remind you, those gods couldn't help when the flood came. Those gods couldn't save you from the destruction of the flood. Those gods couldn't save you from the wrath of God as it was poured out on the earth because of the sin of the earth. The only people who made it through the destruction and the punishment of the flood were the people on the ark. Were the people that were on the boat that Noah built. And Joshua said this, the God that I choose to serve was the God that picked Noah. The God that I choose to serve was the one that gave him the plan for the ark. The God that I choose to serve was the one that shut him in to that ark. It was my God that provided salvation from the flood. And you can choose the other gods that were around that particular time. But they didn't save your forefathers from the flood. They didn't save them from the destruction, from the wrath of God. And it's the same thing today. You can choose the gods of this world. You can choose to be your own god. But I'll tell you what, none of those gods will save you from the wrath of God. None of those gods will save you from the punishment of God that comes to us as a result of our sin. Only the God of Joshua can provide salvation in today's world. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I think there was probably a lot of people living in the day of Noah who were very sincere in worshiping the gods they worshiped, but they did not get on the ark. They did not worship the God that provided a way of escape. And as a result, they were destroyed when the wrath of God came. And I believe the same thing is true today. I believe there are many people alive today that sincerely worship another god. But when the wrath of God comes, when the punishment of God comes, unless you believe in the God of Joshua, you will be destroyed. And you'll be separated from God forever. And then, notice the second choice he gave them. He said, you can worship the gods that your father served before the flood, or you can worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. I mean, the people that we've conquered, they all had gods. And you can worship them. But I'll remind you, Joshua said, they didn't give their people the victory. They didn't help them when we came to their cities and marched around it and destroyed it. We're living in their cities and in their houses and we're eating their crops today because their gods, when trouble came, could not help them. And I will tell you the same thing is true today. It was Joshua's God that brought the people into the promised land. It was Joshua's God that gave them the victory over the Amorites. It was Joshua's God, the Bible says, that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. It was Joshua's God that drove out before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. So I'll say to you today, you can choose the God that you want to choose, but those gods won't help you when trouble comes. Those gods won't give you victory when you get into battles. When the trials of life come, those gods will not help. But the God of Joshua and the God of Moses and the God of all the people that we read about in the New Testament that serve Jehovah God and my God and my son's God and hopefully my grandson's God is the God that will help us when trouble comes. The verse we learned in Sunday school this morning, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Psalms 121, verse 1. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's the kind of God I want. I don't want a God that David talked about in the book of Psalms. He said there was gods. They have hands, but they can't handle anything. They have feet, but they can't go anywhere. They have ears, but they can't hear anything. They have tongues, but they can't speak. I don't want a God like that. And when trouble comes, neither do you. We were talking to some of the men yesterday, and somebody made the statement, there is no atheist on the battlefield. There are no atheists in the hospital rooms. When trouble comes, when you go into battle as a soldier, when you stand beside the bedside of somebody you love, and the doctor says, boy, we're going to have to, something's going to have to happen. Something's going to have to, if your loved one makes it, it's going to be a miracle. In those times, when trouble comes, you look to heaven and you call on the God, the only God that can help when trouble comes. Not these gods that can't hear, not these gods that can't handle, not these gods that can't do anything, but the God in heaven that loves us and knows what's going on in our life and can help us. choose you this day whom you will serve. You can serve the gods before the flood, but they couldn't help when destruction come. You can serve the gods of the land, but they didn't help the people. Or you can, like Joshua says, you can choose to serve the God that I'm going to serve, Lord Jehovah, Jah, God. Point number three, it's a choice you'll make today. You'll choose your God today. Say, preacher, I didn't come prepared to make that choice. Doesn't matter. Joshua said to the people, choose you this day whom ye will serve. It's not a choice for yesterday. It's not a choice for tomorrow. It's a choice you will make today. Some of you need to choose the God of Joshua for your salvation. You're here today, you're a sinner. And by the way, we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every single one of us are sinners. And because we're sinners, we owe a price. There's a penalty that we have to pay for our sin. And that penalty is the same for us as it was for Adam and Eve, death. Hey, preacher, you're not dead. Well, no, I'm not dead. Neither did Adam and Eve die physically when they ate the fruit. But they died spiritually because God kicked them out of the garden. And that's what it means, the wages of sin is death. To be separated from your God. To be separated from the one that made you. To be separated from the one that loves you. The wages of sin is death. But God loved us enough. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent Jesus. And when Jesus went to Calvary's cross, God took every one of my sins. Listen, every single one of them. The big ones, the little ones, all the ones in between. He took every one of my sins and he laid them on Jesus. And when Jesus died on Calvary, he paid for every one of my sins. And he did the same thing for every single person in this room. Every single person. He took all of your sins and he put them on his Son. And when Jesus died on Calvary, he paid for every one of our sins. You say, preacher, I wasn't even born when Jesus went to the cross. How could he know about all of my sins? Because he's God. He's God. He knows about the sins you haven't committed yet. The ones tomorrow and the next day. And he paid for every single one of them. And the Bible says that if we believe that and receive him, he'll save us. Which means that that relationship that was broken can be brought back together. We can be one with God. We can be part of God's family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So some of you here today, you need to make that choice. You need to choose Jesus as your Savior. And again, I'm not asking you to become a Baptist, although I think being a Baptist is not so bad. I'm not asking you to join this church, although I think belonging to this church is a pretty good thing. I'm asking you to make the most important decision that you'll ever make, and that's to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I know there's many Christians here. You know, we get to make the same choice. We get to choose, like Brother Wendell sang about a moment ago. Who are you going to follow today? Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to be obedient to? Who are you going to worship? Who are you going to honor? We get to choose every day who our God is. We do. You say, but I'm saved. I'm a Christian. That's wonderful. Glad you are. But who are you serving today? I mean, I was thinking last night about Peter the Penguin coming out. You know what? So many of us as Christians, we get caught up in the things of the world. And we worry about the same thing that he worries about. Some of you are worried this morning because your 401k is going just like that. And the price of, you don't probably eat many sardines, but the price of stuff is just going up and up and up and up and up. And we're worried about it. We're worried about it. And what we tried to tell the big, tall penguin, one of the little kids told me the other night, that's not a real penguin. I said, how do you know? He says, he's got a mustache. And I told him, penguins can't shave, so he has to have a mustache. But anyhow, listen, but we worry about all that stuff. And God says, look, I know you need all that stuff. I know you have to have food to eat. I know you have a place to live. I know you need all that stuff. And listen, you're my children. You belong to me. I'll take care of you. There's why that verse in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was preaching. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. God knows what you need. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. He's God. He's God. So it's a choice you'll make today, all of us. Are you going to choose to receive him as your Savior? If you're here and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, as a Christian, are you going to choose to serve him? We make that choice. Number four, and I'll be quick. The leader's choice impacts the followers. Joshua said, it's your choice as to who you choose, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, here's my choice. I choose the God of my fathers. I choose the God of Moses. I choose the God of Abraham. I choose the God of Noah. I choose God. And then the Bible says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. All the days that he lived, they served his God. I say to all the dads and moms in the room this morning, choose your God wisely, because it will impact who your children serve as their God. I say to all the grandpas and grandmas in the room this morning, choose your God wisely, because your choice will impact the choice that your grandchildren made. I say to all the Sunday school teachers in the room this morning, choose your God wisely, because your choice will influence those that sit in your class. I say to myself this morning, choose your God wisely, Pastor, because your choice, your day-to-day choice about who you're going to serve is going to influence all those that listen to you preach. And we need to choose not for our own sake alone, but for those that come after us, because our choices will impact theirs. So who are you going to choose this morning? Who are you going to choose? You got to choose. You will make a choice. Hey, preacher, I didn't come prepared to make a choice. I'm not going to make a choice. Yes, you are. I don't want to be stubborn about it, and I don't want to offend anybody, but you're going to make a choice before you leave here this morning. You see, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you walk out of this place this morning without receiving him, your choice is no. It's just simple. I mean, it's simple. If you choose to reject Jesus, I wouldn't reject him. I'm just not going to choose him. Well, that's the same as rejecting him. And if you walk out those doors this morning and not saved, not knowing Jesus as your Savior, you're making a choice. You're rejecting him. And I would beg you this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you make sure you meet him before you leave this place. Just a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to give an invitation. I'm going to ask those that want to ask Jesus to be their Savior to come forward. And I have people ready that will take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you know Jesus as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven, praise the Lord for that. But is he your God today? Are you serving him today? Are you being obedient to him today? If not, maybe you ought to come and say, I choose God. He's going to be my God today. Can't change yesterday. Tomorrow is tomorrow. Who's your God today? This day, choose you, your God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for the opportunity again to talk about Jesus. And I pray for those that are here that don't know Christ. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak to their hearts, speak to their mind. Show them that they need a Savior. Show them that they need to choose Jesus. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help them to make that decision. I pray you'd help them to come so we could take the Bible and we could show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray you'd help us choose today. I pray that you'd help us choose you as our God. God that made us, the God that has a purpose for us, a God that loves us. I pray, dear God, that you would be our choice to serve. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.